Of his 24th book, Set in Sports, John Feinstein writes that this one is about men who have been stars and have fallen, men who have been rich and then far from rich, men who have aspired to those heights and never quite reached them. He's referring to AAA baseball players, and the book is Where Nobody Knows Your Name. John Feinstein, welcome back to Only a Game.
Bill, thanks. It's always great to talk to you.
AAA is the best there is below the major leagues, but the distance between the two can be substantial. You quote Jim Leland, very successful manager in the major leagues, who said 15 minutes in the majors means you're a great baseball player. Is that the way the AAA players you met see it?
Oh, they do, because they know how hard it is to get to the major leagues. If you get to AAA, you're already among the elite baseball players in the world. There are ex-major leaguers in AAA lineups every single night, 6, 8, 10, 12 on the two teams on many, if not most, occasions. So these are guys who are that close to the point where they feel they can reach out and touch the major leagues, and occasionally they do get to touch it, but they want to hold on to it. I guess the best description I heard of the difference is Brett Tomko, who pitched in the majors for years, won 100 games in the major leagues, said that the food in AAA in a clubhouse is essentially the same as the food in a big league clubhouse, but it doesn't taste the same.
Buck Showalter, another major league manager, has said nobody wants to be in AAA, but you found out he was wrong. Whom did you encounter who was happy to be there?
Well, certainly people who had been called up from AA were happy to be in AAA. Guys sent down on rehab assignments. These are major league players who are recovering from injury, and they can be sent down to the minor leagues to work on their game to get back in playing shape for up to 20 days. Evan Longoria, for example, was playing in Durham when I was doing the book, and Sam Fold was also in Durham, and Daisuke Matsuzaka, who of course had pitched for the Red Sox, was rehabbing with Pawtucket. So those guys don't mind it because they don't have to stay in the Hampton Inn or the Courtyard Marriott or whatever it might be that the team provides. They can go stay and afford to stay in the most expensive hotel in town. And I think some of the broadcasters, even though most of them would like to be in the big leagues, some of them have made their peace with the fact that they're big stars in a smaller town, and they're very happy to be there.
One of my favorite stories in Where Nobody Knows Your Name involves Charlie Montoyo, who was managing the Durham Bulls when you encountered him. And the story is about his initiation into Major League Baseball as a player. I gather he was happy he didn't have very much notice before his first big league at bat.
Yeah, because what happened was he got called up. He was playing in Ottawa. He walked in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and his manager said, "Do you want to play tonight?" And Charlie said, "Well, of course I want to play tonight." He said, "Well, you better get going because you're playing in Montreal." This is when the Expos were still there. Gets in the car, and of course there were no GPSs back then. This is 1993. He's getting lost. He speaks English and Spanish. Every gas station attendant he found spoke French. So he was struggling to find his way to the park. Finally got there maybe half an hour before the game started. And in the eighth inning, Felipe Alou, who was managing the Expos, said, "Grab a bat," which means you're going to pinch hit. He didn't have any time to think about how scared he should be, finally making it to the major leagues. Went up, got a two-run RBI single, won the game for the Expos, and ended up, as you know, 2-for-5 during that stint. And he likes to say, "Ted Williams wasn't baseball's last 400 hitter. I was," because he never made it back to the big leagues again.
Several of the players with whom you spent time characterized life in AAA as, quote, real, whereas they said there is nothing real about life in the major leagues. What did they mean by that, John?
Well, I don't think very many people live a life where you only fly on charter airplanes, you only stay in the Four Seasons or the Ritz-Carlton, you never pick up a bag. Remember, the minimum salary in the major leagues is $500,000 a year. Most players are making a lot more than that. In the minor leagues, there are very few players making $100,000 a year. Those are only guys who've been around for 10 years or more. Most are making less than that. And I guess the best description of that comes from a guy named Doug Bernier, college graduate who played professional baseball for 11 years and had 3 days of major league experience in that time. He got called up to Colorado in 2008 when he was making about $2,100 a month. And he spent 3 days with the Rockies. For those 3 days, prorated, he was paid $7,200. And he said the big thrill was getting his next paycheck because it was the first time in his life he had received a paycheck that had a comma in it.
Anybody who has spent as much time as you recently have in minor league ballparks is bound to have seen various splendid promotions. Minor league parks are famous for them. I'm especially interested to hear about the Cowboy Monkey Rodeo Show.
In 100-degree weather, Cowboy Monkey Rodeo Show is very popular in many ballparks. I saw it in Norfolk, Virginia. It involves four collie dogs who are ridden by capuchin monkeys. And with the guy who runs the show directing them, the capuchin monkeys and the collie dogs chase cattle into a cage from second base to outside the center field fence. And I guess it's fairly harmless, but in 100-degree heat, the folks from PETA were not happy, and PETA's located a mile from the ballpark. So they staged a protest that night, and I guess the only good news for the Norfolk Tides was it was so hot that the protesters didn't stick around that long.
John, in many of your books, you express terrific respect for the people you write about, whether they are PGA golfers, college basketball players, football players at the service academies. Did you wind up feeling the same way about the men you met in AAA baseball?
I did, Bill. And what was really interesting to me was before I sort of started on my journey, I talked to a number of major league people, Tony La Russa, I talked to a number of others, and they all kind of warned me. They said, you may find a lot of bitterness down there. I didn't encounter that much of it. There was some of it, as you might expect. But for the most part, what I found was hope. Because all these guys still have hope and belief, or they wouldn't be there. And they genuinely love to play baseball. The number of guys who said to me, people like Dontrell Willis, who was a rookie of the year, Miguel Tejada, who was an MVP, other guys who'd spent a lot of, you know, I mentioned Brett Tomko, Nate McLouth, who ended up being a success story because he went from released to AAA to the major leagues to a two-year $11 million contract he signed this past winter with the Washington Nationals. They all said the same thing. I still get paid to come to the ballpark every night. And there was wonder in that. And I found that sentiment to be very endearing.
John Feinstein's new book is Where Nobody Knows Your Name, Life in the Minor Leagues of Baseball. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Bill, as always, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
On a diamond in his own backyard stands the game's next superstar.
To learn more about John Feinstein's Where Nobody Knows Your Name, please pay us a visit at onlyagame.org. And while you're there, feel free to leave a comment. Maybe it'll make it to the bigs.
Two men on. Here's the pitch. That one's gone, long gone.
It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel, now at Radio Shack. And the Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars, themusicemporium.com. This is NPR.
B-A-D-S-B-E-L-L-E-R-S.
It was legendary, said Mary Olive Thompson. She was speaking of a spelling bee held in Jackson County, Missouri last Saturday. How, you might ask, can a spelling bee achieve legendary status? Simple. Run out of words. This particular bee went 47 rounds, at which point 5th grader Sophia Hoffman and 7th grader Kush Sharma, the last two contestants, had used up all the words that had been provided by Scripps National Spelling Bee. Officials picked 20 additional words from the dictionary, and still neither Ms. Hoffman nor Mr. Sharma missed. After 66 rounds, the tired judges told the kids to come back on March 8th, when the winner will be determined. They hope.